Washington. This is VOA News. I'm Frances Alonso reporting. A new study shows more than half of the children in war-ravaged South Sudan are currently not in school, the highest proportion of any country in the world. The United Nations Children's Fund said Tuesday that 51% of kids between the ages of 6 and 15 in South Sudan are not being educated. The country has endured more than 2 years of civil war that has killed tens of thousands and displaced more than 2 million people from their homes. Nearly half of the country's 11 million people are in need of humanitarian aid. During the six-week holiday season, nearly 1,800 South Africans were killed and 1,400 crashes on the country's roads. The transport minister said Tuesday that 1,755 deaths recorded from December 1st to January 11th, there was a 14% increase from last year. The transport ministry said more than 6,000 people were arrested for drunken driving. It said speeding, reckless driving, vehicles that were not roadworthy, and failure to use seatbelts were also causes of traffic deaths. Ghana's president defended Tuesday its decision to accept two Yemenis released from the U.S. military prison in Guantanamo Bay and said criticism from Christian leaders that the men would endanger national security was misplaced. Mahmoud Umar Mohammed bin Atif and Khalid Mohammed Saleh al-Dubi were transferred to Ghana after being held for more than a decade in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. President John Mahama said the men posed no threat and would be monitored. President Barack Obama will give his State of the Union address this afternoon. This evening, VOA will carry live coverage of the president's speech beginning Wednesday at 2 hours Universal Time. He is expected to have an optimistic path about the U.S. This is VOA News. German Chancellor Angela Merkel said she was seriously concerned that German citizens might be among the victims and the wounded in an explosion in Istanbul that killed at least 10 people earlier Tuesday. In comments to reporters, she said, "We must ascertain today that Istanbul was hit. Paris was hit, Tunisia was hit, and Ankara, too, was already hit. Today, international terrorism has shown its ugly face again. Apart from the grief we obviously feel today, it shows that we need to act decisively against terrorism." A Syrian suicide bomber is thought to be responsible for an attack which killed at least 10 people, including foreigners, in the heart of Istanbul's historic Sultanahmet district Tuesday, according to the Turkish president. Myanmar pro-democracy leader Aung San Suu Kyi is calling for all factions to be included in the newest round of peace talks between armed ethnic groups and the country's outgoing quasi-civilian government. The Nobel laureate made her remarks on Tuesday on the opening day of negotiations in the country's capital. An agreement between the government and opposition forces has allowed dozens of trucks to deliver food and medicine and blankets to at least three besieged towns in Syria. Some news accounts report dozens have died of starvation. Abdulaziz al-Mashi is co-founder of the Syrian Solidarity Movement and blames the regime of Bashar al-Assad for the widespread suffering.
Assad has been using food as a weapon for almost 3 years. So basically, when Assad failed to break into the opposition-held areas by force, he used like all kind of weapons he has got, including chemical weapons, and then he started using food as a weapon.
Meanwhile, Syria's UN ambassador Bashar Jafari said his government is cooperating with aid delivery and blamed what he called armed terrorist group for the humanitarian disaster.
The reality of the so-called besieged, hard-to-reach areas is that some of those areas are controlled by terrorist groups who are using civilians as human shields. And other areas are besieged from the terrorist groups who are preventing the delivery of humanitarian assistance.
You can read more details on that story at voanews.com. The Taliban said Tuesday it was convinced by Qatari mediators to release a Canadian man on humanitarian grounds after holding him hostage in Afghanistan for nearly 5 years. The Canadian foreign minister announced Monday the release of Colin Rutherford, who went to Afghanistan in 2010 and reported missing in 2011. A Taliban video later accused him of spying, but Rutherford said he was just a tourist interested in history, historical sites, and shrines. I'm Frances Alonso in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.